Well, I wanted to take a little time this morning, just a few minutes, and just waiting on the Lord last night and waiting. You know, I like the statement that Reverend Annie shared. She said, "I've shared with the Lord, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable." Some of you may not understand that, but you need to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because God may have us doing some things and give us some assignments that are uncomfortable. I've never done this. I don't have the ability to do this. That's being uncomfortable. And He may give us some things to do, and we need to be and relax and be comfortable being uncomfortable. If we can say it that way. So as I was sitting home last night, I was being comfortable being uncomfortable, not really knowing which way we were going today. So you got to be, and that's how they are all week long. All of them. I hear them talk. Annie said she was sitting in the hotel room this week one morning. I said, "Boy, that was a great message this morning." She said, they both looked at each other and said, "Yeah, I was on the couch this morning going, oh God, I'm so comfortable being uncomfortable. Oh God, I'm comfortable because I don't know where they're going." Just trusting God. And sometimes the direction comes when they're standing in worship. And then God comes and says, "Okay, go this direction." Or they come out and they start. I worked alongside Pastor Clinton during praise and worship. I know Denise is here. We would always put a list of songs together. "Shake your head if I'm saying so." She's waving her hand. We would put a list of songs together. And a lot of times Pastor Clinton would come out of the tunnel and say, "Thank you, Lord, for being with me today." And da-da-da. And he'd sit down and say, at the piano, and be as dry as a piece of toast and not know anywhere which way he's going. And he'd just start singing a song or two. And then maybe about the third song, the Holy Ghost would get involved. And so a lot of times, that's just the way it is. We have to take steps of faith. And you'll learn that, and maybe some of you have. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, not knowing all the things you need to know. You just got to take a step and start moving. You ever hear that saying? You can't steer a parked car. You got to start moving, and then He steers it. He directs, right? So today, I just wanted to share a little more along the line of life in the Spirit. You know, they were all sharing similar thoughts of some thoughts that I had already shared. Walking in unity. Was anybody here to hear Leanne share about criticizing? And how she was just like, why are they doing that? I don't like that. Why are they saying that? Why are they doing that? And then she began to see afterwards and said, "Oh God, forgive me. I've been so critical. Sorry, Lord." And then talking about, why are they doing that? I don't like that. We've all done that. So don't be so sanctimonious and so pious. You all look at that and go, "Why is Pastor Ed doing that? Why is so-and-so teaching that again? Why are they doing that? You know, you working alongside people, volunteering. Why are they doing that? Criticizing. And we've all done it. And, you know, so as the love of God begins to work in our hearts, we become less critical. And it's really the flesh and the soul But when we get the love of God working in our heart and take control of our mind, you know, then this mouth begins to change and our soul begins to change. Because we really do love, our hearts love, but then we get around people and we have thoughts, and sometimes what was shared all week long? Engage, let your heart be in control, not your mind. Your mind wants to be in control. Why are they doing that? Why are they saying that? I don't like that. That's your mind. And you're always trying to analyze something. You're comparing something. That's what was shared all week. Unity, walking in love, not letting your mind have control. Live out of your spirit. What did Annie say all week? Let's be better at being spirits, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:27. We are made in His image and likeness. God is a spirit, John 4:24. We're a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And this spirit, and that's why this mind needs to be renewed. And we need to have, this spirit needs to be in charge. Your mind may want to do something, or you may want to say something, and you go, I'm not saying that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let this spirit be in charge. And we need to not let, because here's what ends up happening. You see it. Just like Leanne said, wouldn't it be horrible if everybody was like Jim Hockaday? She's just kidding around. Or wouldn't it be horrible if everybody was like you? Boring. Right? Because we all look at ourselves and say, boy, that would be a mess, wouldn't it? If everybody was like me or you, it'd be like, so God has made everybody different. So everybody's got a different way to approach something. Everybody's got different thoughts. And boy, you sure can see it on Facebook. It gets ugly out there sometimes. I don't even want to look at it. I'm sometimes ashamed. I went, man, they go to this church and they said that. Ooh, Jesus. It's quiet. But we need to not let this mind and mouth say stuff, because it's not reflective of God. And God is love. We can disagree on some things. There's nothing wrong with having a different point of view and disagreeing on something, but we better walk in unity, and we better walk in love with one another. Because I can tell you this, you know, people start biting at each other, and the devil's sitting off in the back, the unseen, laughing. Yeah, go after each other. Start biting at each other. And he's the one that's behind it all. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's what we wrestle against. Unseen forces. And we are seated in heavenly places and given authority. That means we're not physically there, but in God's eyes, we're seated there like Him, the Master, in a place of authority that we can speak to these unseen forces and tell them to be still. And I'm not going to yield to your thoughts, to express my opinions, because we're all learning we need to shut it down and walk in the love of God. And this is to me what I took away, that God wants to use this church as a forward fire base to take authority and change this region, change the nation from here. What trust the Lord must have to want to do that. But I can tell you it's going to take, you know, one of the things that is apparent to me, and, you know, it's the same way with a little child. You know, everything's fun and games when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Everything's just fun time, play time. But then you get a little older and you get exposed to life and responsibilities, and it's not necessarily fun time anymore. Yeah, we have fun, we enjoy, but there's responsibility, and there can be pressure, and there can be suffering and hardship that you go through as an adult to reach an end. So it's not just hoop-de-doo, fun time. Because now, all of a sudden, as an adult, you have a responsibility. You may have a responsibility for other people in your life. And so there's a seriousness about it. And it's the same thing with spiritual things. That as we grow spiritually, and the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we begin to see more, God is going to reveal more to us, and you are going to then see some of the hurt and pain and suffering that people go through. And that's part of what God wants us to do, to be engaged in the work of the ministry in through prayer, through helping, through ministering to people, and to share in the burden of that. You understand what I mean by that? Because God wants to reach people, and it's not playtime. It's time for us to engage more in things, pray more, minister more, look for opportunities to minister to people. Be open to hear him. And as we do, he will reveal what he wants you to do and say. But that devil is the one that's behind all of it to hurt and harm and to destroy people. And God will begin to reveal things in spiritual things that maybe could be uncomfortable for us. Does everybody understand that? Some things as an adult sometimes are uncomfortable, aren't they? If you didn't say amen, then you're still at home. Because sometimes things as an adult can be uncomfortable. And sometimes when we mature in spiritual things, some things can be uncomfortable. They can be. And God wants us to grow up in this area of walking in love. And I believe that's the thing that is going to cause the miracles and the compassion of God being manifested, is what will reach people and minister to people. Because when we operate in the compassion and the love of God, we won't see people like what we see, and we'll see them like God sees them. We will see them like God sees them, you see. So I just, again, wanted to share some thoughts again this morning along this line. I've been jumped in here and started, but one of the things that we're sharing is walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. In the New Living, it says, in the New Living translation of Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." We heard that all week. Let Him guide. "Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." See, when He leads, when He guides, then it's what we heard all week. Let your spirit be engaged with God, then the Holy Spirit, when you let Him guide, you're engaged. You're not letting your mind control. You're not letting the flesh control. You're letting your heart connect with God, and then He will lead us. You see. The New Living Translation of Galatians 5:25, it says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Every part, not just the ones that we cherry pick. You know, I like this, I let Him lead, but then I get a leading and I go, mm-mm, not doing that. So we want to let Him lead us in every area of our lives. And today, just really the theme of this message is walking in His love, because we started with a message, walking in unity. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're living a life in the Spirit, then you're walking in unity. And the other message we did was walking in agreement. You have to be in agreement with God and His Word. And walking in the light. We walk in the light as He is in the light, then we're walking in the Spirit. But walking in love, let's just look at a few scriptures and remind ourselves of this. First John chapter 4. And this will be from the New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and then verse 16. It says, "Dear friends," this is the New Living Translation, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Verse 16, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." So we heard this week, just reminding us of what we heard. We heard this week from Reverend Jim saying, really, we really want to have a connection with God. Because anything else is really, you're just doing it by works. In other words, you're making confessions by works. You're doing things by works. Your efforts, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. So if we don't have that connection, then we labor in vain. It's just works. But if we have His direction, then that means we're living in love, because if we live in love, we live in God. So there's that connection. So you can't know God, you can't live in God, you can't have that connection without walking in the love of God. It affects our connection with Him. And we all know that. How many have felt when they got out of love in some area of their life, you felt like God was distant? And we knew it. So walking in love is key to walking in the Spirit. It is absolutely key. It is, I would say, the most important thing to walking in a life of the Spirit. Walking in the love of God. I'm not going to take the time, but you can look at it in the Amplified Classic. Just as good. But what was the commandment that we were given? Is that a new commandment? John 13, 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. So it's not just a nice thing to do, it's a commandment that we've been given to walk in the love of God. And what does it go on to say? As I have loved you. So we are to love one another as He loved. That goes right back to what Reverend Leanne was sharing. Stop criticizing. Stop just murmuring, complaining, criticizing. And she even went as far as, yeah, it's not just criticizing your brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's criticizing people. Criticizing people in government. Add that idiot. Ah. So we need to change how we see things and look at things, because as we walk in love, then we walk in God, and God may reveal some things to us on just how to pray. Hit the bullseye. You know, when Mary Frances Varallo was here a number of years ago, she made an appointment. I remember she was talking about how she went to this government or met with some, I don't think I can remember the story, but she started sharing some very detailed information about some leadership in a foreign country. I mean, very detailed. You would have had to have been in that private room discussing it. And they said, how did you know that? The Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is not going to give that kind of insight and revelation to people that don't walk in love, that gossip and murmur. No, won't do it. And we're not going to be that kind of people. We're going to be a people that walk in love. And that God can reveal to us, because if we are going to be, and not if, we are going to be a forward fire base. What does that mean? That means you have insight on how to shoot into the enemy's camp. So that means if you are a forward fire base, you have inside information. You know where your target is. You know how to pray. So what does that mean? That means if you're going to be given inside information, your enemy ain't giving it to you. God is. And He's going to give us that inside information because He can trust us to walk in love and do His commandments. Let me ask a question. I see somebody here I'm looking at him. He was in the military. You went places you weren't supposed to go, and you were in places you weren't supposed to be. Special ops. You were given a special assignment. Would you have been given that special assignment if you didn't obey? You'd have been in the brig and kicked out and beat up. Am I saying the right thing? You would never, just in the natural, in the military, if you were given a special operation, do you think they're going to give that to somebody they can't trust? No. Because they can't follow commands. Am I right? If they can't follow a command, they put the whole team at risk. So that means God, if He's telling us we are a forward fire base, that means He is going to give us assignments, special assignments. And those assignments are going to come because He can trust us to obey His commands. And the first command was to walk in the love of God. Amen. In verse 35 of that same chapter, John 13:34, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. See? And that goes back. If we love, anyone who does not love does not know God. That means the connection to knowing God is obeying His commands. Hallelujah. 1 John, and this is in the King James, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 3 and 4, and 3 through 6 in the King James. It says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. See, this is right back. This is how we know. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. See, that's John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's walking as He walked. Amen. So, you know, when folks say, well, this is not easy. Well, that's part of growing up. It's not fun time. The devil has poured out and this earth to the place where, let's just take a moment and look at Matthew chapter 24. Well, before you go there, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. I'm always putting in mind of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. And it's good, you know, I always say, do a checkup from the neck up. See what's coming out 1 inch below your nose. First Corinthians 13:11 in the King James, when I was a child, I spake as a child. See? That's what it is. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means the spirit man, put away, made a decision. I'm putting this away. I'm growing up. I'm not going to speak like a child, think like a child, and I'm not going to or understand and think like a child. I'm not going to do that. And that comes with a decision, doesn't it? I'm not going to do that. But let's look at this. This to me really capsulizes this in Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew 24 and verse 12 in the New Living Translation. What does it say? Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because of sin. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So what are we saying? When we walk in the Spirit, when we walk in the life of the Spirit, or we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in unity. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the love of God. That's key. We're walking in the love of God. And we can see, if anybody just, you know, I know you see it. You see we're in the end of the end of the end of days. And we can see sin. That's what it said. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. I'm going to just look that up a second here, if you bear with me, in the Passion. Well, I have it here. This is. They can put this up, though. Matthew 24, verse 12 through 14 in the Passion Translation. It said, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. So that means those that once had a passion for God and others grow cold because what? What does that mean? That means that maybe you have embraced the world and its way of thinking. We don't want to do that. We've already been given an assignment. We are a forward fire base. God spoke through Brother Copeland at the dedication and talked about how that the people were oil to the lamp. And he said, thousands will come. Multiple thousands will come. And that's when he said, you think my church in Seoul, Korea is so big? He said, I will do that here if you'll let me. I'm going to do that in many places around the world. And he said, here, I'll do it. But that means we are going to have to, and that's part of the prophecy that Reverend Kevin shared, that in that prophecy it said, we are going to be given an insight and revelation into the unity of God that others have not seen. How is that going to come to pass? Walking in love. Because you cannot be in unity with people if you're not walking in love. God is a unifier. He wants to bring people together through us, and we are going to walk in love. Because where the love of God is, the power of God is manifested. I'm telling you, you will create, when you get strife and murmuring and complaining out. You say, I'm not doing that. When it comes to your thing, I'm not going to do that. It's a choice. It doesn't mean you're not going to have those thoughts. You will get the thoughts. And you just say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to think that way. And I'm telling you that when that is eliminated, people will walk on this property and get healed without nobody touching them. Because the glory will reside. Because he will reside in manifestation through the people, because the love of God is working through them. And you will just interact with people, lay hands on them, pray with them, and they'll be healed before they ever get in, step foot into this building. I'm telling you. That's the glory. I mean, we always say God manifests himself with the glory. Well, what is that? We think it's all, who is God? God is love. And when we operate in love, God is manifested. He is manifested. What does that mean? Healing is manifested. Peace is manifested. Goodness is manifested. Joy is manifested. And people will walk in and be delivered just because they're in the presence of God. But it's all of us. It's not just whoever stands behind this pulpit. It's all of us carrying that and God manifesting himself through the body. Isn't that so? Yeah. You know, this is something that Rick Renner shared. It's a book that he wrote. I haven't finished reading all of it, but he said, it says, signs you'll see just before Jesus comes. And one of them is this, that you're seeing a lack of love, coldness. And then he goes on to share all the other signs that we see. He talks about it here. Well, I'm not going to get back over there because it's a whole teaching. But there's a process to growing cold. And he said here in Matthew 24:12, Jesus was prophesying of a time that would come when immoral thinking, believing and acting would affect nearly every facet of society. Well, we can see that, can't we? Every facet of society is corrupted with immoral thinking, immoral believing, and immoral acting. He said, it will be a time of great moral confusion that leads to widespread immoral behaviors. Well, we can see that. And if you embrace any of it in your thinking, even just our thinking, it can lead to criticism that can come into a church. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying people can bring in criticism. And I ain't doing that, I don't like, and criticize. You know, we've been in this world so long that sometimes we don't realize when we do criticize. We just think that's normal, and it's not. And the more we walk in the love of God, God will reveal to us, don't say that anymore. Don't do that. That's not right. That's not my nature. Sometimes we get used to doing something and we don't even think there's anything wrong with it. Because we've been in this world, we've been tainted by it, and it takes God and His Word and the Holy Ghost to reveal to us, doesn't He, that I don't like that. Don't do that. Don't think that way. Don't believe that. Don't act that way. Right? And that's a process. Right? And then further on in that chapter, you can go on further in Matthew 24. And Rick Renner writes in this, he said in Matthew 24, 37 and 38, Jesus specifically describes a last days society as the days of Noah. Didn't he? He said, as the days of Noah. He said, Noah's day, the time before the flood, was a time when immoral behaviors were prevalent in the world. And it wasn't just a few who were affected in that climate of overflowing iniquity and lawlessness. The entire population of that time was morally affected. And Jesus foretold that as we entered the wrap-up of the last age, it would once again be as the days of Noah. But we're not going to be that, because God has spoken and prophesied that this place is a forward fireplace, a fire base. It's a place of safety. It's a place of glory. It's a place of love. Hallelujah. This is what he writes as a final thought here. He said, only those who draw close to Jesus, remember what we heard all week? Connecting with Him, drawing close to Him, hearing Him. This is what Rick Renner is saying. Same thing. He said, only those who draw close to Jesus will avoid the defilement of this period. We will not be defiled by the world if we stay close to Him. Because the Holy Ghost will say, no, don't do that. Don't think that way. If you stay close. See? Then he said, an on fire, committed remnant that fixes their eyes and their hearts on Jesus will avoid the moral debasement that will occur throughout a last days society. So as we stay close to Jesus, we will have less and less opportunities to be defiled by this last day society. They're not going to affect me, because we're going to walk in the love of God. We're going to walk in the love of God. It may not be easy because of the condition that people are in. Their minds are all squirreled up. Their hearts are not right. Their minds are not right. They're acting out things because they're affected by this society. And it may not be easy to walk in love towards someone. But God has paid and spilled His blood through Jesus to reach them. And He died for them. And they're hurting. I mean, doesn't the scripture, what chapter is it? 1 Peter, it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe it's in 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, I'm not sure. But the point is, he was a preacher of righteousness in that society. Yeah, they sure lambasted him. They talked all, I'm sure, all kinds of nut, look what he's doing, till the rain fell. And they wanted to get on that ship, that boat. But we have an ark of safety in God. When we stay connected with him, we have a place of safety from defilement in this earth and this last day society. And it's not for us to despair, because he said, when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Who's he going to much more abound through? Those that stay connected. Those that operate in the love of God. Those that as a group, as a church, begin to affect a region. This is what we need to be thinking on. That's why staying, even being unified with other pastors in an area, when you get together and you join together and you begin to share your heart and you begin to reveal even the truth from God's word, and you can get others to connect, you become a mighty force to kick the devil out of a region. That he will not blind people. He will not destroy a society. He will not destroy the church. Because when you start looking at it, just think about it. How many like what's going on in our society? Thank you. If you had a hand up, I'm going to come pray for you. Maybe you didn't understand the question. But if you just look around, the immorality and the godlessness has gotten into the government, and what happens is they make laws to then allow further ungodliness. Where's the church? The church should be saying, no. We're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to have this. And Satan, I command you to back up. Because it affects everyone. It's affecting your pocketbook. It's affected in inflation. It's affected in everything. And it all starts in a lack of love for God. And when there's a lack of love for God in a society, you just open the door for your enemy. And he begins to work through people who will yield to him. So we are not going to have it. We are going to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And we are going to be a part of a great, mighty revival. And we, with God's help, he will push back the darkness. But he needs us here in the earth to work together, to walk in the love of God, so that he can do what? Manifest himself through us. Glory to God. This is living in the Spirit. This is life in the Spirit. That we are being used of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about it, you know, just, you know, the things that, you know, that Deacon Tony experienced as a person in the military, they may send a group, a small group, to go into an area to do something that could change the whole direction and affect a nation. Right? Absolutely. He's shaking his head, absolutely. Because he said, I was places I shouldn't have been. What? You're undercover. But you can go into an area on an assignment to impact a nation with a small group of people. Didn't they do that here? They brought down the World Trade Center with a small group that impacted a society. I mean, I heard Dr. Billy Brim talk about this years ago. Her and a small group went over into Israel and were on the border of Lebanon, and God gave them an assignment to go over there and pray. Just go over and pray. That's all he told them, go over and pray. Go on that border and pray. There was a situation where it looked like they were going to have, you know, some kind of a war between Israel and Lebanon and all of those neighboring countries. And they were given an assignment just to go over there and pray. Pull down those spirits that are causing that. And it changed. It changed. So it's the same thing. There are war drums. You see it going on in this eastern country, Russia and all that. You just speak to it. Now, there are some things that we can't stop because it's been prophesied and it's going to come to pass. But until the end, we have a part to play. And so when you see all of this stuff going on with one nation trying to rise up against another nation, God is going to use us and show us and give us assignments to pray for nations, pray for this area. How many think it's okay to abort babies? I don't. It's ungodly. It's murder. I mean, I know when we had our annual board meeting, the lawyer was sharing with us some statistics on abortions, how many babies have been aborted every year since that law was put into place. So don't think that the devil is not going to try to work through a government to try to solidify it in a government. He doesn't want to let go of that grip. So don't get over into, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's murder. It's ungodly. And so our lawyer was sharing that since that law was passed, an average of 1 million babies a year have been aborted. It peaked at 1.5 million every year. Every year. When was that law passed? Was it 72, 73, somewhere around there? So you're talking 30 years. 30 million babies aborted. And so when ungodliness gets a grip on a nation, it's got to be prayed out. And in the natural, voted out, but that is after the principalities and powers have been broken and pulled down. Because it will not change if there's not us walking in the love of God, walking in unity. And what does it say? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. I like the passion. It says, let this mindset be your motivation. My motivation is his mindset. His mindset is, how can you even think that it's okay to abort a living being? Up to the point of birth and even after. So the spirit of murder has to be pulled down through prayer. And this is what God wants. He wants righteousness to reign. He wants justice to reign and righteousness. And there are just some things that we need to think about. This is not, you know, I don't even want to hear somebody say, well, this is political. No, it's not political. It's covenant. If God commanded us to walk in love, if you are walking in love, how could you even entertain with your thinking that he died for that baby and you took its life because you were inconvenienced? It's not right. And I believe what Pastor Greg shared was true also, that if for some reason in your life you did that, God is not a God that doesn't forgive. And when you ask for forgiveness, it's as if it never happened to him. It's no different than David Berkowitz and all of those that murdered people and were washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He's forgiven them. So we are that church, and we're going to walk in the love of God. And we're not going to murmur and complain about those that are being used by the devil to put things in society that allow people to sin even more, sin freely, without restraint. No, it's going to change. And it is changing. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, let's just make a heart decision today that we're going to, those things that maybe we need to correct or adjust, or maybe we are walking in love, but I'm just making a consecration to you, God, that I consecrate this myself to walk in the love of God. Because wherever you go, when you walk in the love of God, you bring who with you? You bring God. And God can start and is, and I'm sure, using you, but he can use you just like any of us. We have the Great Commission, don't we? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, and so he'll use all of us. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you today for sharing these thoughts through us and reminding us of our covenant with you and our commandment that we purpose this day and consecrate ourselves to walk in the love of God and not be defiled by this last day society. And Father, we thank you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we dismiss, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, that hasn't made that heart connection with God, if you're here today and you desire to do that, or you're watching online and desire to do that, then we present or create that opportunity. We make that opportunity available to you. And The scriptures that come to mind, he said, what does he say in Romans 10, 9 and 10? That we believe God unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we believe and confess that God raised him from the dead, and we believe that he is Lord. We confess him as Lord. So if you're here today and you desire to make him your Lord, and you never did that or you don't recall doing that, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you are and have sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I now receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe that he took my sins, and I believe that he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, you raised him from the dead. And I thank you that I am raised from the dead. And I believe that now Jesus is the Christ. I ask him to come into my heart. He is my Savior, and I am saved. If you said that simple prayer, made that simple prayer, that simple profession of faith from your heart, then you got saved. You got born again. Your heart was changed instantly. Glory to God. And all of the, it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So your past sins have been erased. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God.